Okay, the page we've all been waiting for, page 32. We're going to talk about the four cups of the Passover. If you like my little sketch up at the top, I know, thank you, be very impressed. On the left-hand side is the old Passover. You see the lamb there at the table, and on the right side, Jesus is holding bread, okay? And it's the new Passover because it's the last Passover and the first Mass that Christians celebrate. Okay, so I'm going to get into the structure briefly of the original Passover. Okay, there was a structure with four cups, thus the four cups on your page. And Jesus knows this structure, of course, because he's been doing this feast annually his entire life. He's a good Jewish boy. As a matter of fact, he's a rabbi, so he knows everything that this symbolizes. And the way that he decides to unveil or reveal the Eucharist really fits in with the Old Testament way of doing the Passover. Okay. I will say at the beginning of this page, there is much more to the Passover that I'm not aware of, that I don't know, or that I didn't have time to include here. I'm really just kind of doing the basics of these four cups. Okay, so trust that there's tons more here to go learn about. So the first cup, we're just going to call it the cup of introduction. Okay, each one of these cups has multiple different names if you go digging into it. I chose the simplest ones that I could find for my purpose. So the cup of introduction. Essentially, before they actually eat the meal is, the unleavened bread and the flesh of the lamb. They do a lot of drinking beforehand. So they drink this cup of wine and they sing psalms and hallels to praise God. And it's kind of like the introduction opening thing. Okay. Again, probably tons more in there. We're just skipping ahead because the third cup is really where all the action is at. The second cup is called the cup of proclamation. Okay, the idea is that they are starting to proclaim what God has done. Think of this as, if you will, the liturgy of the word in the Mass. The reader gets up there and speaks from the Old Testament and says, "This is what God has done." And then somebody speaks from the New Testament about the early church. And then somebody speaks from the gospel. And then the priest preaches about what God has done. Okay, so this is designed this way because it's based on the second cup of the Passover, okay? The Jews remembered what God has done. Again, they're reading pieces of scripture, they're reading psalms, they're doing things. Now, if you've done like a Seder meal more recently, there's like a tradition of like doing these little drops. You drop the wine on the plate for every single plague that happened in the Passover, sorry, in the Exodus. They eat hyssop and salty parsley to remember the tears of being in slavery. It's just a big remembrance thing because the reason that God instituted this as an annual feast in the first place was to remember what he had done so that they won't go off and worship foreign gods, but they'll be faithful to him. Okay, so this is proclamation, the cup of proclamation. So they have the second cup of wine in them now, and they're drinking this. The third cup is called the cup of redemption. Okay. After they drink this cup, they're going to actually have their meal. Okay, they're going to eat the lamb. Now, this drink of wine in the Passover symbolizes the blood of the lamb. They're going to eat the actual meat of the lamb's flesh now, but it's called like the cup of blessing or the cup of redemption. And the whole thing is about the blood of the lamb. Okay, Paul calls this the Eucharist in 1 Corinthians 10, 16, the cup of blessing which we bless. So Paul is understanding and re-explaining what I'm trying to tell you now is that Jesus, at this cup of this Last Supper, interrupted the status quo, and instead of giving the lamb's flesh, he gave bread and said his famous line, "Take this, eat, this is my body given up for you," okay, or whatever exactly he says. Sorry. So this at this point where they're all expecting to dig into some lamb flesh, he interrupts and he does this, and then he takes this third cup of the Passover, which is the cup symbolizing the blood of the lamb, and he says, "This is my blood," not "This symbolizes my blood." So he is in a sense saying, "I am the Passover lamb that has been expected, that has been anticipated, that we're remembering here, but instead of symbolically being the Passover lamb, I am the real Passover lamb, and I'm about to shed my blood to prove it." Okay? That's what he's saying here. So think about this third cup as the liturgy of the Eucharist in the Mass, where we actually consume, we take into our bodies the body and blood of Jesus. We drink the wine that is the blood, and we eat the flesh that is the lamb. Okay? So the first cup, introduction, normal. Second cup, proclamation, normal. The third cup, redemption, Jesus interrupts. And the apostles are like, "What? What's going on?" So they eat the flesh, which is the bread. They eat the bread, which is the flesh of Jesus. And they drink the cup. And then Jesus does something else very unusual. The fourth cup, he completely skips. The fourth cup of the Passover, in a very average, normal Passover day, is called the cup of consummation. Okay, and the idea is that they drink this and then they sing Psalms 115 through 118 called the Great Hallel. It's sung near the end of the Passover service, and they drink the cup afterwards. And the idea is that they're remembering not what God has done, but the promise of what God will do. Okay? They're remembering that God will send a savior. They're remembering that God has promised the bloodline to Adam and Eve, that somebody will come and crush the head of the serpent. And at this Passover meal on Holy Thursday, Jesus skips this and he goes to the garden and he prays. So they sing Psalm 115 through 118. They sing the great Hallel. If you notice, he dismisses the Passover meal and they all go into the garden singing. But instead of drinking that fourth cup, he goes to the garden and he prays. And what does he pray? He prays that this cup would pass from me. That's interesting language. He doesn't say that the suffering would pass from me, that the cross would pass from me. He says the cup. And then when he's on the cross, if you fast forward to when he's on the cross the next day, he says, I thirst. And when he says, I thirst, they give him wine. Okay, it's sour wine, it's vinegar, but when he drinks it, he's dying and he says, it is finished. On the night of the Last Supper, when he does not, when he drinks, you know, he drinks the third cup and he says, I will not drink again until I drink with my Father in heaven. He's saying he's not going to drink the fourth cup until then on the cross the next day, he drinks it with his Father in heaven because he's dying. See what I'm saying? I hope that I'm explaining this well. Isn't this crazy? The fourth cup, the cup of consummation, is the cup about remembering God will send a savior. And when does Jesus drink it? When he is the savior, doing the savior thing. As a matter of fact, when he has completed the savior thing, he has come, he has died for the sin of all mankind. Everybody should be dead. That is justice. Everybody should die for their sins, but he has taken it all upon himself. He has done the thing that made him the savior that was promised. And he says, it's finished. And then he drinks the fourth cup. There's no need for the fourth cup anymore because it's not remembering God will send a savior. It's saying, I am the savior God has sent. So the Mass kind of follows this structure, the introduction, the remembering, the proclamation of what has happened in the past, the actual Eucharist, the eating of the bread, which is the body of Jesus, the drinking of the cup. And then at the end, the sending off, you know, is the, it's like them singing and leaving, right? The sacrifice of the cross is the sacrifice of the Mass. Mass is Passover, is the cross. It's all connected. Isn't that crazy? So anyways, Jesus drinks that fourth cup on the cross.